In the first reading today, we hear about all the things that the saints conquered, all the things that they did, how they conquered kingdoms, wrought justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, recovered strength from weakness, and on it goes. And you look at all the things that St. Paul is talking about, and of course, it got even worse. There were some who experienced mockery and stripes, chains and prisons. They were stoned, they were sawed in half, they were tempted, they were put to death by the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins and lived in caves and holes in the ground and all these things. And it's important for us to be able to remind ourselves of these things, because every one of us is going to have to struggle with some things, and we just see how well we handle them or how well we don't handle them. We get a hangnail and we think that the world is coming to an end. It gets cold and all we can do is complain, but funny thing that in the summertime when it gets hot, all we do is complain. Like, are we ever happy in Minnesota? We whine about everything. And we look at what the saints endured, and we ask ourselves, well, what happened if that occurred here? What would you do if the power went out when it's 20 below zero? What would you do if the grocery stores didn't have food? What would you do if your car didn't work? You'd have to be just like people who lived in this area of the world for thousands of years. They lived in tents, teepees. What would we do? Many of us, first of all, of course, we'd complain a lot, and then we would die because we don't know how to handle it. But what would happen if we were actually persecuted? We hear about these people who could have been released, but they refused. They rather stood there and allowed the persecution, because they were looking for a better resurrection, St. Paul says. Could we do something like that? When we look at what our Lord speaks about in the gospel, he pronounces that those are blessed who are poor and who are mourning and who are being slandered and so on. We don't tend to look at it that way. Maybe if we were being persecuted from the outside, yeah, we could handle that, maybe. But it's the persecution from the inside that is far worse. Those who actually should be supporting us, but they don't. And that's more painful. How do we handle that? It's one of the things that they oftentimes look at in canonization processes. How did the people who were running the church treat this individual? And how did the individual handle it? In other words, we know that the faithless people that are higher up are going to treat people like garbage. We know that. So the question is, how are we going to handle it? Are we going to lower ourselves to their standards? Or are we going to look to Jesus, who says that we're blessed when that happens? When's the last time that you saw yourself that way? Praise the Lord, somebody is ripping me down. They're gossiping about me, they're lying about me, they're taking something away from me. Boy, what a gift. That's not usually the first thing that comes to our mind. So that's the part we have to learn, to look at the saints and ask, how did they handle this? And how are we handling it? If what St. Paul tells us is correct, and obviously it is, all these, he said, were approved by the testimony of faith. That's what we have to be as well. To be able to say, if we're going to say that we believe in these things, now we need to put them into practice. It's a whole lot easier just to believe in something than it is to practice it. And one of the difficulties that we have in our society is that we really haven't suffered much, especially for the faith, but we haven't suffered much at all. When you think back to the way people lived a couple of hundred years ago, we've got nice houses with nice furniture, and we've got indoor plumbing, and we've got heating, and we've got air conditioning, and we can go out and do our car and start it up, and in a few minutes the heat is working, and you know, or in the summertime the air conditioning is working, whatever. You know, even in Minnesota we have mosquito control these days, you know, so we aren't getting chewed up constantly by these little things. People used to. And so again, you just put that into context and you say, look at how easy our lives have become. And the stuff, therefore, that we tend to complain about are things that people a couple hundred years ago might not even have noticed because their lives were hard. The things that they had to deal with just day to day are things that would be way beyond what a lot of us could even begin to handle. And so the little things we complain about, they wouldn't have, because that wouldn't even have been a big deal. So we need to think about this and ask ourselves, if we really want to be a saint, what is that going to look like? Now, obviously, not all of the saints throughout history have had to deal with some of the things St. Paul is talking about. Everyone comes up in different circumstances and situations. But all of them had to act in faith. And acting in faith, that had to be demonstrated in charity. That's the only way. And that's something that's going to be required of every single one of us, no matter what the circumstances might be. And so if we are made to suffer, can we actually pray for those people? Can we love our enemies and pray for our persecutors the way that Jesus taught us to do? Can we remain at peace and keep our focus on God? Or do we get angry at God because he is allowing us to be able to suffer? And if we get angry at God for allowing the little tiny sufferings that he allows in our lives, what are we going to do when he allows big things? So those are things we have to think about, because every one of us has some suffering. Maybe it's physical suffering, maybe it's psychological, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's relational. Whatever it happens to be, we've all got something. Make good of it. Rather than complaining about it, offer it to the Lord. Unite it with his suffering and try to see it somehow as a gift. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't go to a doctor or try and fix it, but it just means as long as it's there, don't waste it. And then there's the spiritual suffering. That's, if we're serious about the spiritual life, it's going to be there. Some of that's going to be rejection from other people because they don't understand you. If you're going to take the prayer life seriously, you're going to become weird according to worldly standards. And if you're going to take the spiritual life seriously, God's going to purify it, and there's going to be dryness and darkness, and it feels like God has abandoned you. And so you get the rejection from the people, you feel like you're being rejected by God, it seems there's no consolation anywhere. How do we handle that? When all the chaos is swirling around us because we're going through a transition in the prayer, how do we deal with that? Those are all things that any of us can look at, no matter what. And we can begin to gauge what needs to change in our lives. That is, how do we grow in virtue? Can we be more patient? Can we be more accepting? Can we even be more joyful? That's something that is supposed to be a hallmark of Christians. We don't see much of that these days. So again, things like that. Where's the charity? In the midst of our suffering, are we still kind to the people around us, or do we become a bear? Do we snap at people, or are we kind to them? Now, those are the things that you can see in your own life. Because again, when things get really hard, if we can't handle the little things, we're not going to be able to handle the big ones. So God is allowing these things, whatever they are in your life at this time, to be able to help you to grow in virtue, but also to prepare you for some of the bigger things that might come along. And if you're going to grow in the prayer life, even if nothing bigger happens in the world and in the church, which obviously they're happening, but even if they didn't, they're going to happen in your life because you're growing in the prayer life. The devil isn't going to like it, and God's going to allow the devil to try you to help you to grow even more. So the key is, again, keeping the focus on the Lord, making sure your prayer is in good order, and looking at those areas of virtue, not trying to justify our wrongdoing. It was okay for me to chew this person out because it was okay for me to be angry because it was, you know, we've got every excuse in the book for why it's okay. It's 30 below zero, so it's okay if I'm whining and complaining. No, it's not. So it's those sorts of things that we have to look at and say, quit making excuses. Let's get serious about what we're supposed to be about. That is trying to be saints, growing in holiness, which means growing in virtue, becoming more Christ-like. So we see what some of the saints have gone through, and they put us to shame. And yet at the same time, God is preparing us so that maybe one day we would actually be able to handle some of those things if they happen. That's only going to happen if we cooperate. So with whatever it is you've got going on, do your best to cooperate with the Lord. Try not to complain about it. I know that doesn't come naturally to any of us. Maybe if you need to have a confidant that you can complain to for the time being, fine. Just don't spread it all over the place. And eventually you're going to find that doesn't do any good anyway, and then you'll stop. But anyway, at least cut back with what you're doing. Look at how you can start moving forward. And then start making those steps so that the virtue does start to develop. So you do start to become more conformed to Christ. And then if some of these big things do happen in our lives, who knows, maybe one day you'll be counted among those who, by the testimony of their faith, were found in Christ Jesus our Lord.